is, well, in a way, it's the first step to applying all the theory that I've dragged you through in the last four sessions. And by way of an introduction, I've asked James to read for us Ecclesiastes chapter 12, which contains the conclusion, and it contains some advice that Koheleth has for us in terms of how to start putting everything that we've thought of into action. James. Possibly anything more to be said about Ecclesiastes? It's only 12 chapters, of course, and I've had you here for 3.5 hours, so what could we possibly do for one more hour? Perhaps you've got to the stage that my wife has reached now. I suggest that you don't do this, but if you went up to her after this meeting and said Ecclesiastes to her, she'd probably throw her hands in the air and run screaming from the room, because she's had it for about 3 weeks now, solidly. But you see, there is so much more to Ecclesiastes, so much more that I can't even, well, I haven't really scratched the surface, if the truth be known. You see, the thing about being so intelligent, as Koheleth was, is that he is light years ahead any of us in terms of his mental gymnastics. So at whatever stage of life you come back to Ecclesiastes, you will find a whole new layer waiting for you. There's something else about being incredibly intelligent as well, and that is that you can use words very efficiently. And that's what Koheleth has just done right at the end of the reading that James read for us. Because in two verses, remember, we have that executive summary, and what he does there is to distill down all that has gone before into two verses. 220 verses worth of wisdom we find in verse 13 and 14. But he lays the land, he lays the way before it. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9, "Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." See, he still claims the wisdom. He says, look, boys, listen to me, because I've still got it, even at the end. And now I'm going to use my wisdom to lay it all out for you. And there it was. He did, didn't he? We read it this morning as well. The executive summary. Of course, if you look at that and notice what Koheleth does for us, in actual fact, he gives us two things to do and two reasons to do it. What are we to do? Fear God. What are we to do? Keep his commandments. But why? Ah, well, he says, why? Because it is your duty as men and women. It is the manliness of you men, the womanliness of you women. And because, eventually, every one of you will face God's judgment. And there it is then, the answer to that question, what do I get out of life? Here it is, the answer to the question of all time. And of course it's at some point going to be a question in your time that you have to face as well. Will you? Can you? Can you find it in your heart to fear him? Of course, that is a most personal question. I've just lost my notes. And it will come at different times in your lives. I'll tell you, mine came fairly early. I was 18, just about to go off to university, and I got baptized. It all seemed so logical. I'm ashamed to admit to you that for the next 3 years, I lived almost as if I hadn't been baptized. And it was only when a friend said to me, look, Tim, we've got to either do this or not do this, that I faced up to it. Any advice to you who are going off to university in the next few months, years? Get involved in a meeting. You see, I was able to hide. I got baptized, went to a different city, never joined an ecclesia. Nobody asked me to do anything. It wasn't very good for me in terms of spiritual welfare, and to be honest, I've been catching up ever since. But when we face the question and how we answer it is absolutely up to every one of us. And that's the scary bit, of course. It's our decision. We make it in our lives, and then we deal with the consequence. And of course, for those of you who are already baptized, well, there's no sitting there thinking, well, made my bit, done my bit, it's all over. Because, here's a piece of wisdom that we never quite got to yesterday. This is what Kohelet says about prayer. When thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And for those of us then who have chosen to pledge God our love, our fear, our loyalty, our obedience, well, then it falls to us to the rest of our lives to deliver God what we promised him. So this is a huge issue, and rightly many of us are pretty scared of it when we face up to it, whenever that be in our lives. And there is no right or wrong time, that's for you to decide. Fortunately though, Kohelet doesn't just conclude by saying, here it all is, here's the answer, it's all up to you boys. Because what he does in Ecclesiastes 12 is say, by the way, if this is a huge deal to you, if it's facing you out a little bit, well, try this. Because in Ecclesiastes 12 there is an exercise, if you like. He suggests that we might do something that would help us in deciding whether we will or will not fear him in our lives. I know that you all suspected I would make you sit here for another hour listening to me mumbling on. I have good news. We have a worked example. What I'd like us to do for the next 20 minutes or so is actually look at the exercise that Kohelet asks of us and to have a play with it, to see whether it makes sense, to see whether it's helpful. So you can see we've drafted in a few more experienced people, and some of those, though they may not know it yet, are about to be leaders of groups. What I'd like to do is split you into groups, or five groups of 8, 10. I should have five leaders in the room with worksheets, and what I'd like you to do really is to go through Ecclesiastes 12 and try and suss out what Kohelet suggests we might do, what he's talking about, and why it might be helpful. So can I ask my leaders just to stand up so we can gather who they are? Oh, I can see very distinguished, highly experienced. Come on. Come on, rain sensor man. Right. What I would suggest is that our leaders sort of spread themselves in the four corners of the room and maybe the middle. And if you can quickly find the leader that you think is best looking or you feel most comfortable, don't come to me. We need to do this fairly swiftly, so I would suggest that within 20 minutes, we need to be back here just to mop up, and we'll be done by 5 o'clock. So if you can find a leader who takes your fancy, that would be great.